Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
Yeah, nope, I'm definitely still Amanda, yeah, okay.
And I'm Brenna. Gimme few, gimme five, gimme deppa jabba za. Because we are three gals that like to sit around and drink coffee.
Maybe too much coffee.
So much coffee.
And talk about true crime.
True crime.
Is that why we're here?
Yeah.
Oh, well... All right, fine. I'll stay.
We do a true crime. We talk about other things. We've talked about death.
Death.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
We talked about how to prepare for death.
Oh, I thought you were talking about death like dem teeth.
Dem teeth. Sometimes we talk about teeth.
Mm-hmm. We have.
We'll do episodes on movie monsters.
Yes.
They're totally real. Or monsters that may or may not exist.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, yeah, cryptids. All that good stuff, yeah. Too. So, yeah, we've got all sorts of stuff, and we're about to... Add, chisel another tablet in the pantheon of morning murders this day with Nicolas.
Yes. Yes, I bring a tail to the breakfast nook.
This might be our most unhinged episode yet.
And it's gonna get wild. Yeah. This will get wild.
All right, Nikki, what you got? What
There's
you got?
A lion in this
what
mug.
You got?
Oh, man, I wish. No, it's just coffee, which is great. Ladies and beans, today I bring something we've brought up on the podcast before, but I wanted to pour some coffee and talk more about it. Ladies and beans, have you ever heard of The Body Farm?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. That shit's cool. Let's talk about it. Let's do it. Let's get gross.
Yeah.
This is kind of, I'd be okay with this happening to my body.
Oh, it's actually really cool.
Okay, tell me all about it,
I'm
going to
tell you all about it. Okay, so the University of Tennessee Knoxville's Anthropology Research Facility, more commonly known as the Body Farm,
was hoping you would just say E-I-E-I-O.
Was the first of its kind. So there are a handful now with, there are a handful of similar places around the world now. Mm. In the U.S., there is now one at Western Carolina University, Texas State University, Sam Houston State University, Southern Illinois University, Colorado Mesa University, and University of South Florida. Mm. Outside of the U.S., there is one in Australia, Canada, India, and the U.K.
Cool.
Now, before we dive Before we dive in, though, I wanted to explain what forensic anthropology is, just in case. I know I am a huge Bones fan, the show. And also Bones, but, Bones the show.
Yeah.
But not everyone sat through and watched all 12 seasons. Or started reading the book series like me.
I did not.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry.
I love
it
so much.
I can't do David Boreanaz. After Angel, I've just been like, you're just going to brood. I've seen it. It's cool.
But he's not the only character. She's so cool. Anyways,
you're
okay.
Right. Yay.
You could also read the book. He's not in the book.
Oh, dope. I'll read the book.
Okay. So forensic anthropology is the study of human remains and application of archaeological technologies in criminal investigations. They can determine identity or identifying characteristics, detect cause of death, and estimate time of death by examining remains, specifically when examining hard tissue such as bone. Most forensic anthropologists are experts in... this one I always have a hard time saying. Osteology? The study of bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like osteoporosis.
I tried to think of osteoporosis in my head. Osteology.
Osteology.
The study of bones. It's still used today.
What did we think in season one was the study of bones?
Oh, no, I don't remember. But we definitely did
that. We definitely messed that up. And I was like, nope, that's not right at all. Whatever. That was something.
We're all human.
We're all
that was
human.
That was season one.
That was season one. We're season three now.
Yeah, we're season three. We're season three beans now.
Yeah. But yeah, so this stuff is still used today, but it's not as heavily relied on as the only thing, since now there are many technological advances. So many have come along to help aid in investigations, such as fingerprinting and DNA profiling.
I'm so sorry. It was osteopath.
Osteopath.
I'm sorry. I had to. I'm so sorry, Nicole. I keep interrupting okay. you. It's and this all is really interesting.
Right.
I'm sorry.
There's more to come.
Okay.
So the Body Farm helps to train students and investigators in techniques of uncovering and properly identifying and storing evidence and remains, identifying time of death or post-mortem interval in one of the main focuses. When a victim is unknown, the post-mortem interval is particularly important. It will help narrow down who they might be based on missing person records, if it's a recent case or one that has been going on. It can help limit the search pool greatly. In the U.S., there are over 600,000 people that go missing each year, according to the National Missing and Identified Persons System.
Damn.
4,400 unidentified bodies are recovered a year, and 1,000 could possibly be missing for over a year or more.
So there's, like, always going to be true crime podcasts, is what you're telling me.
And missing people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In crime investigations, it is vital to help evaluate alibis of potential suspects in homicide cases. In 2018, there were more than 16,000 murders in the U.S. 40% went unsolved. It is difficult to determine when someone died. There are specific items that are measured. Okay, so this is where the fun pronunciations happen. Algor mortis, body temperature. Rigor mortis, stiffness. Liver mortis, settling of blood. But these all have small windows for when you can get a good reading. It's very important to have training in identifying these factors and how to properly inspect the area around the body. In 2019, the FBI celebrated their 20-year collaboration with the Body Farm. FBI Evidence Response Team, ERT, members are provided training each year on human remains recovery at this facility. They lay out a grid around the remains. Then they start taking down all the layers of soil slowly. They go all the way through, like, the sifting process to make sure that no evidence or bone or anything gets missed. They take photos and then inventory everything. They even go a bit past the grave to make sure no possible evidence went beyond the initial burial site. Because that's been a big thing, too, because they would stop right at where the body is. But some stuff seeps in further, so it's really important to go beyond where the body is laying on that layer, because there might be something that's gone down deeper. So, how did the Body Farm all start? I know you're all asking that question.
Hey, Nicole, how'd the Body Farm start?
Ah, let me tell you. When anthropologist Dr. William M. Bass in 1981, Dr. Bill Bass was constantly working with law enforcement and doing autopsies on bodies to help determine cause and time of death. But he quickly ran out of places to store the bodies. He didn't have, like, a very large facility at the time, and he shared a lot of spaces with, like, a lot of the space with the janitor at the university. Because he's at the University of Tennessee. One day, he got this body, and the only place to put it was in this shower area that the janitor was using for storage. Well, the janitor, who obviously found the body, was like, hey, don't ever do that again.
Yeah, WTF, man. Not cool.
Guess it was an overwhelming smell of decay that hit him first. So Bill decided it was time to talk to the dean. So he went to the dean and was like, I need space for this research. And in order to continue to help law enforcement, we need land. The dean said, okay, and gave Bill's department about 3 acres of land that was behind the university's medical building parking lot area. So they didn't have much of a budget when they started out. So it was a lot of Bill and his students really building and doing the groundwork of this area. So they were doing all the constructing and all the, like, layout and design. The community did protest its construction at first. Hmm. But once they understood the huge value this research and study would have, they embraced the Body Farm and now fully support it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The Body Farm has grown so much since it started that it now includes entomology, the study of insects,
entomology,
the study of insects, and more law enforcement teams will reach out to students and faculty for help with real ongoing cases. Now, they don't give tours to the public, But in there was a very exclusive tour with a news team that I was able to watch, and I've linked that in the show notes. You don't get to see a whole lot, but you do get to see some stuff, which is pretty cool. So basically, when you're on the body farm, it doesn't really smell. You could be next to a body and not even know it in some cases. In other areas, it's more obvious. But when you go there, there's all these like black plastic coverings kind of throughout these beautiful woods. It's like really peaceful and beautiful looking. Now, the bodies, or donors, as they refer to them, are laid to rest throughout the land in various scenarios. There are always about 150 to 200 donors among the trees. Every one of them is handled with great care and respect. The body farm has different courses for all levels of students and extended law enforcement training and an extending training to law enforcement members. So you don't have to be an expert to go through the course. You can be brand spanking new and never even seen a dead body, and there's a course for you. So they literally will get students that have never seen a body in person before, and they even have law enforcement members who've been in the field for decades. They have a wide range of different people that come here, and they cater to everyone. Bones, the TV show, makes it look so easy to identify remains, time and cause of death, and solving a crime. Mm-hmm. And in reality, that type of technology doesn't, like, actually exist.
No.
What? I know. And it takes the teams a lot longer to do all of that. So some unsolved cases that are brought to them are still unsolved, but they continue to revisit the cases when new technological advances come out. Detectives will come out to the body farm to revisit a case they have there over and over. Each case is safely stored and protected so that everything remains intact so that they can continue to find out what happened. I think they said it was something like 50 plus remains from unsolved cases are there. Mm-hmm. The body farm is continuously working on how to improve forensic methods. Finding out how long a person has been dead is vital to solving cases and developing an accurate timeline, like I was talking about earlier. There are these things called microbes in the, necrobiome? The ecosystem of life involved with decay, and like they've helped a lot. So like the ecosystem that naturally happens when you decay is what they're starting to kind of tap into more. They're more reliable than just insects. They're already there. Insects kind of make their way to the body, and then sometimes outside factors can hinder the process of an insect, like the cold. And I bring this case up a lot, but John List, for example, he turned on the air and like blasted it, and it hindered the decomp of his family, which made it a lot trickier to determine time of death. The newer advances in DNA and using machines now make it much more possible to identify bacteria, fungi, and other microbes that are associated with decay. They can now find stronger patterns to help determine more precise time of death. The donors, who have all signed up for their remains to be part of this research, are usually in the field for maybe 1 to 2 years. After that, they are thoroughly cleaned. Students will spend practically all day carefully and slowly cleaning the remains of a donor. They even use crock pots to heat up water just enough so it's like nice and warm, and it helps kind of get the debris off of the remains. They're really careful with what type of temperature, how like extreme the temperatures are, because they don't want to do any damage at all. Mm-hmm. They show like a clip of the students and they're cleaning some bones, and it's incredible. They're so careful, and just they've got all these really great things at their disposal to help clean these remains. So they clean them so that they're safe to handle, like without gloves. Like, that's how clean they get them. And then they're stored in a box and continued to be used. Donors help with research on levels beyond just decomposition situations. They help with bone research and fossilization and decay. A donor does tremendous things for science progression at the body farm. Their bones can even help with fire cases, determining if a body was dead before or after the fire started. Understanding what happens to the bones in all situations is vital. It's so crazy. Beans! I wanted to take a moment to talk about a company that I love very much. It's called Adventure Dog Coffee Company. Not only do they offer a specialty-grade coffee that is roasted fresh to order, literally it is some of the best beans I've had the honor to brew for the Breakfast Nook, 20% of the proceeds from that coffee goes to train rescue dogs as specialty service dogs for veterans. To learn more about this incredible company and order your bag of coffee today, visit adventuredogcoffee.co. Use special promo code MURDER. That's MURDER at checkout to receive a 20% discount just for being a bean. You can also check out their link in our show notes. Now, let's get back to the show. What is also really amazing is that the families of the donors can come and sit with the remains. They can learn all the things their family member was involved with and what they've helped with since their time at the body farm. There are over 5,000 pre-donors. You can apply to be a donor on the university website. And the body farm takes care of everything once the person dies. The family calls the body farm, and then they take it from there. They will go to wherever the body is and safely transport it back to the body farm, where it will be laid to rest and help the future of investigations and understanding of the body. There are no caskets. There is no embalming. There's no tombstones. The donors are laid to rest in beautiful woods and naturally decompose. Now, you do have to apply to be a donor. There are reasons they might not accept your application. Because it is a very, like, vulnerable state that these bodies are in, and the people who interact with them, they all wear, like, PPE, like professional or personal protective equipment. But the bodies do need to be in a certain state. They don't accept donors who've had a history of infectious diseases like the tuberculosis or hepatitis, or if they had an active infection at the time of death, like MRSA or COVID.
Yeah, I would I would hope not. Like that they would just, because that stuff then they could spread. Infect someone
exactly.
Still,
And that is the University of Tennessee Knoxville's Anthropology Research Facility, aka the Body Farm. Any final sips?
That's pretty cool, because I only knew that the body farm, all I knew about the body farm was that it was, they were doing research about the bodies and how the elements affected the bodies, but I had no idea that they, like, kept the bones and then worked on how bones are affected, and they learned all of that. That's really cool. That's really interesting. I didn't realize that it went that far. So now I kind of want to do that even more. That's pretty dope.
It's so fascinating.
Throw Brenna through the rock. tie Brenna to a brick. Throw her through the window of a medical facility.
You take
her. And then gently place me at the body farm.
Yeah. Amanda will go to the...
Don't bruise my body, because they need to use it.
They have to use it. Whereas me just...
But you can just stick a post-it note on my forehead. That's hilarious. That's just like for you. Hey, love you. Thank you.
I'm Amanda.
Hi, I'm Amanda. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I'm being thrown through the window of some shitty dean that won't put money in the arts department.
We'll get them.
And then they'll be like, "Great, a body. Let's make it. Let's use it."
Yeah.
For research.
Chaos in life, chaos and death. Yeah. Here we go.
The research is, why is she like this?
I must know.
Oh my God, is her blood maple syrup? What's happening? Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the idea that there is a safe, respectable space, as far as we know, of a safe, respectable space to, like, be around dead bodies, to, like, inspect dead bodies, to learn about dead bodies, because it's so, like, something we just don't talk about, and that's not, like, in our stuff.
Or it's very, like, medical. Like, you're in medical school, and now we're in the morgue, and we're gonna dissect this body, and it's gonna be crazy. Whereas this is, like, beautiful and natural. Like, the thought of just being laid under a tree to decompose sounds really lovely. That's nice.
Yeah, and, like, students will have, like, what do they call it? It's not term papers, but they've got, like, their projects and things that they're working on and then trying to see if what will happen based on their theories.
Right.
And so they'll, you know, all the donors get used for this stuff. So it might be like, oh, we're going to put a mattress here for X amount of time and see, like, how that affects the situation. Or if we have this item nearby, what will this do? Like, they get to do all these things in a safe environment where they're just going to learn, oh, it does this. Oh, it does nothing. Oh, this happens. And that's just going to help progress just investigations moving forward.
Absolutely.
And just how bodies are. Like, we're just learning more and more about what happens to us when there's nothing else going on.
And I bet that helps with, like, archaeological studies and stuff, too, because then they find can test things in different ways.
And then they can, like, put a timeline to these bones a little bit better. You're right. You're right. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And I love the stuff with the unsolved cases, because that's such a huge thing. And, you know, unfortunately, there will be some that may never, ever get solved. But they're still trying. And as technology
progresses. Maybe not in our lifetime.
You're right. But they keep everything so well that they'll just keep retesting stuff as it progresses. As long as, you know, they've got it, they've got the material still, they're able to revisit it anytime. Because they're all really nicely and safely stored. It's incredible. When I was like watching all these videos and stuff, because my thing is like I've talked about like wanting to do like the human compost thing, and like this is the same sort of idea, but mm-hmm. it like helps in an educational mm-hmm. setting for law yeah. enforcement and students, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. But I wrote a little thing. So I even wrote down, I think this is incredible, and I'm actually highly considering applying to be a donor. Mm-hmm. I think the work they do is so important, and I love the idea that I can continue to help aid in future investigations and research and help others. I did also want to talk about the Body Farm's first donation that arrived back in 1981.
Oh, right, because someone had to be the first
Someone
guy.
Was the first. It was a 73-year-old man renamed 118. He died of heart disease and emphysema. He provided crucial data on the four stages of decomposition. Do you ladies want to guess what they are? Do you remember the polo back in 2020 where I read this to you crying? Cry laughing. So, Beans, because we used to do this thing before we started the podcast where I had a true crime calendar and I would read to the girls or I'd say, have you heard of this case or do you know this? And one of them was what I'm about to read to you. And as I read it, I hadn't read it before I read it to the girls. I just, like, polled them instantly. And as I'm reading it, I start cry laughing because it's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
She's a vegan.
And I'm a vegan. I'm like, oh, God.
She's the four stages of decomposition.
Four stages, yeah. Do you remember what they are?
Okay. Well, is rigor mortis a state of composition? Decomposition?
No. No.
I know you bloat at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know.
Girl bossing. Girl
yeah.
Bossing.
Okay. Okay. Here it is. Great.
Stages of decomposition.
Girl bossing.
Girl bossing. Girl mathing. Okay, but seriously.
Good.
So we've got the fresh stage. Maggots feed and multiply on the body. The skin on the upper and lower jaw stretches. Hair and skin remain attached to the skull. The bloat stage. After a couple of days of exposure, the body bloats from gases given off by the bacteria feeding on the intestines. It's happening again. The decay stage.
You play Left 4 Dead. You're just describing Left 4 Dead characters.
It's true, Boomer. It's Boomer. So the decay stage, microbes and insects consume soft tissue. I can't help it. Soft tissue like muscle, ligaments, fat, and so on, causing the body to slowly decompose. What's wrong with me? Okay, one more. The dry stage. You know, I thought this wouldn't happen. I don't know why. I was like, I'll be fine. I can read this.
You read Albert Fish's thing.
Yeah, if you can read that, you can read anything.
Oh, the dry stage. After about a month or longer, if the body is not exposed to the sun, most of the soft tissue is gone. And the bones have dried, leaving a skeleton. I'm sweating.
Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers
on
your maggots.
There it is. And that is the four decaying stages.
Decomposition. McDonald had a body farm.
E-I-E-I-O.
Do you think that place is haunted? Do you think there's ghosts there?
I mean, probably.
I mean, maybe.
But if there's ghosts there, they're all like happy and chill.
And they wanted to be there.
In the forest. And mm-hmm. Yeah. I would just be sitting there like out of body staring and be like, right, guys, isn't that cool? Did you see my body do that thing? That was crazy. Well, they can't hear me. Whatever.
They can't. It's fine. But I'm here. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's super cool. And I love that there's more facilities, and it's just that just means more science research help is happening, which is
great.
Yeah,
man, everybody dies. It's good to, like, utilize that for mm-hmm. science.
Use your death for good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a woman on the video that's linked. It's like the news thing. And she is going. She's a donor. She's applied, and she's gotten accepted, and mm-hmm. she is going to go there when she dies. And I think it's her grandson, bought her a shirt, and it says, like, the Tennessee Body Farm on it. And she, like, wears it with pride and, like, loves it, and she's so excited.
Aw.
Yeah.
I mean, hey.
Hey. She got to make the choice.
Yes, she did. 100% right. Made the choice, and she's so excited to, like, just help.
Yeah.
That's more than we can say about other, like, body exhibits. I feel like some of those are pretty suspicious.
Right, yeah. Well, we talked about the bodies exhibit. No, they have, like, bodies of stolen prisoners. All right, it's
allegedly
fine. It's whatever.
Suspicious.
Yeah.
A little suspicious. Or, like, you know, I think Stephen not Stephen Colbert. That's like seasons ago. What year is it? John Oliver just did a whole thing on like organ donation and stuff like that, and like what some of those turned into. And actually, there's a whole thing about how they don't know how some of the bones from the Oklahoma Bone Museum got there, because because people buy and sell body parts and stuff. So that's because it's a museum, and museums do all that kind of stuff all the time.
Told you we should have gone.
I know. So like, it's so funny because I just talked about it on John Oliver, and so like that's like, it is. So it's just nice to be like, there's an organization that like is not shady.
Is cool.
Yes,
it's legit.
The Body Farm is legit and cool and like doing amazing things and continue to grow, and they just keep doing better and better things, which is amazing.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. Anyways, so that's it, Beans.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, guys.
That was cool, man.
Yeah, I learned something today the Nook.
Yay, sipping some coffee in the Nook. Mm-hmm. Beans, thanks for sharing your coffee with us, and we look forward to sharing more coffee with you on this here in this on this day in this breakfast
Nook with coffee and coffee,
the breakfast Nook. Mm-hmm. On a podcast, on this podcast that we like to call Morning Murder. It's like a glitch in the Matrix. I got stuck. And then I just leaned in, you know?
Lean in, girl. That's the one thing they tell you about girl bosses.
Thank you for listening to Morning Murders.
Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes at Morning Murders. That's MORNINGMURDERS.
Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends.
If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the Breakfast Nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening.
Okay, well, I didn't get any of what we just recorded.
Oh, excellent. That was just for us.
It's okay.
Sometimes it's just for us.
Sometimes it's just for us.
I like your little sweater.
Thank you. It was my grandmother's, my mother's, one of theirs. I think it was my mother's. Mother's. It was my mother's. You know what? I don't know.
Okay.
It was one of theirs.
It was great. I love it.
I think it was my mother's. We're going to just be like, Mom, was this yours?
Just take a quick selfie. Mom!
Mom, is this your sweater?
Yeah. You can call your mom Nicole. Nicole.
I mean, she calls me Nicole.
Nicole. She calls me Nikki. My name's Nicole, but she calls me this, and I don't know it.
Amanda's new rap album is coming out this summer.
DJ Amanda.
I like that you're doing that with the little chicky wings in the back. So you're just looking like, leaning into the abyss.
It's great. Like you do.
Yeah.
Like,
like
little vocal fry.
We're just like a bunch of lizards. That's what I imagine.
Oh, yeah. They do that.
When you're going hiking, you're like, what the hell? They're just like yelling. Yeah.
I'm a lizard.
I'm
just yelling because I'm a lizard. I don't know.
I love it.
Like,
it's good. It's a good song.
All right. I might say things wrong in this episode, but you know what? Science. Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Dive in. What? Dive in thought? Dive in.
Dive in thought?
Before we dive in thought.
To drive in thought.
Oh, though. It's supposed to be though. It's just thought. When a victim is unknown, the postmortem interval is in crime investigations, it is vital to help it is vital in crypt. Chimney cricket. Now I can't read.
Sorry, I passed
it's
on.
It's okay.